the winning sound of Network Sports.
And a very pleasant good evening to you, and welcome to another very special edition of Mason and Guests, heard on Voice of Barbados. You can call us at 434-1790. You can send us a WhatsApp at 253-4679 or an email at cricketmason@yahoo.com. Mason and Guests is brought to you in association with the very good friends at Barbados Lottery, promoting youth sport and culture.
Attention! Attention! Express Cash! The Barbados Lottery's fastest game in town now has an even bigger rollover jackpot. The rollover jackpot is now over $261,500. That's right, $261,500. It's so easy to play Express Cash. Visit your local lottery agent and ask for a quick pick ticket or fill out a slip to play your favorite numbers. So play Express Cash, the fastest game in town, drawing every 5 minutes at Barbados Lottery agents island-wide.
Well, from Kingston in Jamaica to Bridgetown in Barbados, they continue to ask, what has gone wrong with West Indies cricket? Well, we went to New Zealand with maybe high hopes of winning. Did I say that? But what happened in the first test? We're going to discuss that tonight in Mason and Guests. The scoreboard tells the story. 519 for 7 declared New Zealand. The West Indies 138 and batting a second time 247. Do I need to say more? In fact, on the third day, as many as 16 wickets fell for the West Indies. And if there was no Jermaine Blackwood or Alzarri Joseph, possibly all 20 could have fallen. And that really does not inspire a lot of confidence at all. I'm Andrew Mason, and of course, co-host is Dr. Andrew Ford. And already on Zoom, we're going to continue from last week, Toby Radford, the former batting coach. And I say former, perhaps they may need you, Toby, to come back and help them. And we've also got Philo Alfonso Wallace, our very good friend there in England. And we need him to come back and open the batting, because we certainly have a problem as far as that department is concerned. Without any further ado, let me go to you, Toby. Both of you, of course, are in England. Toby, this is not a good story at all. 519 for 7 to New Zealand, the West Indies 138 and 247. The West Indies continue to perform poorly. Can you put your hand in this, Toby? Good evening to you, sir. Toby, are you hearing us? All right. What's happening there? Philo, can you hear us? Philo, can you hear me? All right. Toby, can you hear me?
Trying to send a message.
Oh,
well. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, okay.
But we can't hear Andrew, so.
Okay.
Can try to send him a message.
Okay, can you hear me now, Toby?
It's always something every week, and then eventually it gets working.
Yep, okay.
We get there.
Yeah. All right, I think we may have the technical challenges solved now. Philo, can you hear me?
Good evening, Andrew. I can hear you.
Okay, fine. Toby, can you hear me, Toby? I'm sure you can.
Hello, Andrew. Hi. I'm
right.
Very good, thanks.
All right. Good. Well, the high power team came in and everything is all right. We want to apologize to all of our listeners. Of course, we're very much on Zoom and these things would happen. We're a couple of minutes late this evening. We're going to certainly get the show on the way. I was saying, Toby, I've got to say it again, 519 for 7. That was the score by New Zealand, 138. And batting a second time, 247. The West Indies losing by the innings. What's going wrong with the West Indies team, Toby? Talk to me.
Well, look, I've only gone on what I've read and what I've heard. I didn't see it because it's obviously in New Zealand and the time difference with England is huge. Clearly in the first innings for them, Kane Williamson, world-class player, gets 200 and whatever he gets, you know, bat for 2 days. I thought, given that West Indies went into bat at the end of the second day and they're 40-odd for no wicket, it looked as if they'd had a good start against the newborn. You felt, look, if they can do that again on the third morning, you know, potentially they go on and get going, but lost early wickets, had the usual sort of middle order collapse, and then they're under pressure and weighted runs. And it never got going after that. And there was only real, you know, two major contributors in Blackwood and Alzari Joseph. So very disappointing first game. I'm sure everyone's a little bit down, but they've, you know, they've got to get up for this second one, isn't it? It's as simple as that. And to be fair, we have seen the West Indies do that. I remember on the tour of England in 2017, the team were blown away in two and a half days at Edgbaston with the pink ball. There were a couple of long meetings, went to Edgbaston, went to Headingley for the second test and won on the end of the fifth day. So we've seen a team bounce back. It's not doom and gloom. They've got to remain positive and they've got to dig deep. And I've often felt with the West Indies team, when they're on the ropes, they sometimes come off swinging in the next game. So don't underestimate them. And I'd like to think there's going to be a lot of fight shown. And I hope there's going to be fight shown in this second match.
Philo, your assessment of the first test. Talk to me, Philo.
Good, Andrew. Good evening. Thanks for having me again. When you look at 519 runs in the first innings, it is a mammoth total. And West Indies obviously had some good build-up scores going into that test match. But obviously, when you look at the quality of the New Zealand seam attack, it really exposed the weaknesses again of the West Indies batsmen. When you look at it the first day, anybody that won that toss will look to bowl first. But the ball obviously didn't do a lot. I thought our bowlers didn't really get a lot of balls in the right areas as well. And it allowed the New Zealand batsmen to just settle in on a surface that obviously they would have known better than the West Indies. And Kier Williamson, Andrew, he's a fantastic player. This is a guy that was just playing 2.5 months of IPL cricket, which is T20. And a lot of talk is how can a man switch from T20 to five-day cricket? And he was in a quarantine bubble when he got back to New Zealand. So it just goes to show the quality of the man, Kier Williamson, and what test match cricket means to him. And that 251 from 412 balls would have really, you know, really put West Indies on the back foot. And again, the good opening partner there, Tarn Lehman, he batted well as well for 86. He showed what is required on a surface as such. It's just that our batting in the second innings, I thought we were timid. We batted 26 overs for 40-something runs. It was a goodish start. But when you're coming back on the third morning, you need to show a bit more intent. And obviously that did not happen. Campbell tried, but he picked the wrong length and he was out early. And Andrew, the wheels just fell off. We just could not recover. And once you get a bullet for 138, you know that New Zealand is going to stick you back in. And this is the thing. I would like to ask the West Indies batsmen, how do they feel getting out twice in the same day?
Some 16 you know, wickets.
They need to fight a bit more, and that is what is required. They're going to the Basin Reserve for the second test match, so they need to show a bit more application and more intent to score. I don't think the New Zealand bowlers are that great. I just think our batting is a little timid, man. Our batsmen are still too timid, not looking to rotate the strike. I thought Braffitt and Campbell did it well in the evening for the 26 overs, but then it never happened again in the innings until Joseph and Blackwood came together and they took the bull by the horn. And we saw what they both did. Blackwood is second test, 100, and Joseph, 86. Well played to both of them. But we're still back at square one.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's go to Brian Waddle, who, of course, is there in New Zealand. Brian, how are you? Good morning? Good morning there in New Zealand, is it? Yes, Brian, are you
hearing? You're on mute, Brian.
You're on mute? Okay. We want to hear you, Brian.
Andrew, you're rather low.
Okay.
Is that better?
Yes, that's very better. We hear you loud and clear now.
Well, people probably thought it was better not hearing me. I don't know. But, yeah, it's a bit damp in Wellington at the moment. It's been raining steadily for the last 3 days. We're in the middle of a heat wave in this country. And by a heat wave in New Zealand, we're talking 27, 28 degrees. But, unfortunately, it's bypassing Wellington. And I'm heading off to West Indian practice very shortly. And I don't think they'll have much time outdoors. It looks like an indoor training session today and tomorrow, according to the forecast. So it's not the best way for either side to prepare for a test match.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's look at the first test, Brian. 519 to New Zealand, the West Indies 138 and 247. Any surprises at all?
Well, I was surprised that the West Indies batsmen didn't bat a little bit better. I don't think they helped themselves to any degree. People might question what they did wrong in terms of the bowling. Well, you know, the line and the length in New Zealand is important. And they got neither of that right until the middle of the first afternoon. And by that stage, Latham and Williamson had set themselves. And, you know, if there are two people who are going to die for the cause in New Zealand and capable of doing it and spatting for a long period of time, it's those two. And that partnership was basically the difference between the two sides. Because when you look around the rest of the New Zealand side, only Kyle Jamieson, with a half century, did a useful job in terms of adding numbers to the score, but it was the partnerships that were built around, particularly Williamson, that helped. You know, modest scores all the way through. And when you score 518 after being put in, it's a hard test match to lose. You've really got to throw it away. Mm. And I think that to a certain extent, we didn't see the best of the West Indies batsmen. Craig Brathwaite has scored runs here in the past. We know he's a good enough batsman. Darren Bravo, I think, had an illness or injury problem, which didn't help him. But generally, New Zealand is bowling in their conditions, you know, a seam attack that is efficient, professional, organised, and a very experienced attack was always going to be hard. They beat India here last summer, so West Indies were always going to be up against it.
Mm-hmm. All right, just before we go back to Toby and Philo, the first morning the West Indies won the toss. Brian, they decided to bowl on a green top, we'll call it, in the Caribbean. You expected that it might have exploited those conditions a bit better?
Well, the funny part about it is they're not the first side to be deceived by that kind of pitch in New Zealand. Oh, New Zealand have been preparing those pitches for a period of time, particularly at the Basin Reserve and at Hamilton. And therefore, your length has to be a lot better. You have to bowl a lot fuller. And that is where I think they let themselves down. They were too short. Mm-hmm. They allowed Williamson and Latham, both very good leavers, to leave. They missed a couple of tricks as well. They didn't challenge a catch behind for Latham early on when the umpire had given it not out, but replay showed there'd been a little nick onto it. I think Williamson had a life along the way as well. And that was probably where they missed the boat to some extent. You know, those bowlers have bowled here and they bowled on the Basin Reserve in the past. Holder's been here, Gabriel's been here, Kimo Roach has bowled here and been very effective in New Zealand conditions, but they just didn't seem to get the ball in right areas, and New Zealand love that.
Indeed. Toby, let's talk about Blackwood. What a performance from him.
Mm.
Surprise, Toby?
No, I think he showed against England in the summer that he's very capable of standing up against top quality bowling now. And, you know, he made that match winning innings in the test match that the West Indies won down in Southampton. He's got another 100 this week. And I think he's showing consistency. And I think he's showing for the first time in his career, really, the ability and the desire to want to bat for long periods of time. I think the thing that people always levelled at Jermaine was, you know, there was always a rash shot in him. But he's prepared to bat longer. He's prepared to leave more deliveries. You know, he's still an aggressive player and he's still got flair, but he is showing now he can bat for 4 or 5 hours and longer, which is what you need to do in Test cricket.
Mm. And you would have worked with him, of course, as the West Indies batting coach.
Well, I've worked with him when I was there, but I've also worked with him in the last year. I've had this online batting booth where he's been sending me his videos. Yeah, he's been sending me his videos from Jamaica. Mm-hmm. And then I analyse them and then we have a chat over Zoom like this and I give him feedback and then he'll go back to the net. So it's sort of coaching via 7 or 8,000 miles, but it's really worked well. And, you know, it's been partly technical with balance at the crease and getting him playing straighter. But I think it's been more the mindset to be prepared to leave more balls, to bat longer, because he's always got good shots in him. And the one thing I've always said to him is let the bad balls find you. Don't go looking for them. In test cricket, you can be just prepared to bat time. And, you know, we know Kane Williamson, world class, and he did that last week and gets 250. And I think Jermaine is on that track now mentally. So he knows what he needs to do to get hundreds in test cricket. And it's about 5 hours or longer and be far more selective about what he plays and what he doesn't play.
Mm-hmm. We're going to come back to those online sessions, of course. But let's go to Philo now. And then, of course, we're going to bring Dr. Ford in. Philo, the performance of Jermaine Blackwood, your assessment?
Andrew, I thought he played well. I'm still skeptical of him, his ability to play the short ball.
Ooh.
But he finds ways to score. Yeah, he doesn't play the short ball well because he sets himself up to hit the ball through the offside, like a lot of West Indians. But I'm happy to hear Toby said that he's looking at his balance. His balance is a lot better. When you look at it, he played a lot of some wonderful drives. He was very, very close to the ball. One thing I would just like him to take away is for a short man, try to hit left balls over mid-off. I think if he can try to curb that a bit, we'll see some more of him. But I like his temperament. At least he's challenging the New Zealand bowlers, Andrew.
Mm.
You know, he uppercut over third man for six. Those kind of shots, you know, would be successful because the New Zealand are not expecting the Jermaine Blackwood to play those shots. So he took the challenge to them and it paid off. He scored 104 and he really batted well. He had the New Zealanders at his beck and call. And I hope that he can now go into the next test match. Obviously, he'll start from zero and just try to build another innings similar. But because for West Indies to do well, we need our batsmen to be collective in scoring runs. Jermaine Blackwood scored 104. Alzarri Jory scored 86. But we still got bowled for 247.
Mm.
And we only batted for 58.5 overs in the second innings. And the first innings, West Indies batted for 64 overs. So we don't bat long at all. No, we score quickly. But we don't bat long.
And then test match cricket is supposed to be 5 days. In fact, the game could have actually ended in three. Because it took the efforts, as you said, of Blackwood and, of course, Joseph, they came together. Dr. Ford.
Hi, good night, everyone, and to the listeners. I guess I'll engage Brian first. Brian, New Zealand outplayed us completely during the game. But if we were to look at some of the deficiencies that or problems that New Zealand would have had, you did miss quite a few catches. And Blundell would have missed one or maybe two, but your first choice keeper is coming back. What changes do you see in the New Zealand team other than the wicket keeping change, if assuming your first keeper is fit?
I think that's basically the only change will be BJ Watling will come back in to keep wickets. Tom Blundell will go back to the top of the order where he had been prior to that, and Will Young will drop out of the squad. New Zealand doesn't make changes. I think they'd like to give Young another crack, but just at the moment, it's pretty hard to force your way into the New Zealand batting lineup. The only other change could be, and it may not be this test, but it could be in the next tour with Pakistan here, is Kane Williamson could slip out of the side because his wife is expecting, and it's the middle or late December. And, of course, he wants to be there. And if that's the case, he will be released and Will Young will come into the side. So that's the only other likely change. I'm heading off down to practice very shortly and I'll find out whether there's any injury issues. I think the two players up for interview today are both playing their 50th test matches. Shannon Gabriel is the first to be interviewed and Neil Wagner is playing his 50th test match for New Zealand as well. And both those two players will play. But New Zealand has generally gone with a settled lineup. They are consistent. They are prepared to stick with players. You've got to play yourself out of the side in New Zealand. You don't get in on a selector's whim, which to my mind is a very good way of selecting. The players get confidence out of that sort of attitude.
Mm. The Granholm has been injured and Jameson looks a really great, promising fast bowler. He looks like he's even more talented at bowling than the Granholm and he also made 51. How do you compare the two of them? And you know, what happens if the Granholm gets back his fitness?
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting one. He may well come back into the side in place of Mitchell, who blotted his copybook by apparently using some poor language out in the middle against the West Indies captain. I didn't think that sort of thing happened in Test cricket, but it did. Mitchell will probably drop out and De Granholm will come back in. Jameson will stay there. I mean, I think you're right. I think he is developing to what could be a genuine all-rounder for New Zealand to bat like that, to make it look as easy as he did too after some of the others had struggled. I was impressed, and it's not the first time he's done that. I mean, here he is in his fourth test match. He's got an average of 72. And he bowls at a good, lively pace. He's got a good Yorker. Anybody coming from that height will also know that he gets good bounce. You know, we had to put up with it when we played guys like Joel Garner and Michael Holding and all those other tall West Indian pace bowlers. They got good bounce and they had so many varieties that that's what made them the danger and the quality that they were back in the 80s against our sides. So Jameson, I think, will just offset nicely the three that are there. You know, Southee may well be coming to the end of his time, although he didn't show it in this test match. But, you know, he is into his early 30s. Wagner, I think, is getting up to around about 33 or something along those lines. So they're not there forever. And New Zealand have got to look for some of these players like Kyle Jameson. Matt Henry will come back from injury. And I still want to see Lachie Ferguson playing in test cricket.
Yep, I
think that sort of pace is hard to match. And, you know, he's an outstanding bowler. He's done a lot of hard work.
I can ask Toby a question. Toby, the top six of the West Indies averaged 26. And in the test match, outside of Blackwood, none of the top other five batsmen were able to even aggregate 40 runs. It's a chronic problem. What do you see as the overview of futility of top six batsmen in the West Indies over the decade?
Well, we know that the best of Bravo was probably lost. We know that you know Darren was playing well. He lost a year or two, and he struggled really coming back in. He had one good test match against England out there a couple of years ago, but he hasn't quite got back to where he was. I thought maybe with these early the sort of pre-tour early matches, he played well. I was hoping he'd bring that confidence and form into the middle last week. And likewise with Craig Brathwaite, we know he's up and down, but he's had some huge scores. He's performed. Again, I was hoping his form, he'd take the form from the A-team match into the middle last week, but neither did. And they're the two key batters, I feel, who are experienced. They have scored runs before in Test cricket. You need them to fire to get a good start to build the innings. You know, when they get knocked over quickly, suddenly there's a pressure on Roston in the middle, you know, Blackwood's in, and then before you realise it, Jason's coming in. And you're under pressure. And what we do know with the West Indies team, when they lose one or two wickets, suddenly you could be five down. They go bang, bang, bang. There's almost like confidence is lost. And it's something that, you know, that is a mental capacity to say, right, we've lost two. We're going to be calm. We're going to rebuild. We're going to build a new partnership. It's almost, and we've seen it a lot over the years where you lose two or three and it, panic runs through the dressing room and the three becomes six and you're all up for 200. When you've just got to rebuild, regather, the new blood comes in, you start again. And we're not seeing enough of that, and that's what we've got to see. But I want Craig Brathwaite to go and get a big score this week. It's interesting playing at Wellington. I was there last time when we toured New Zealand, and it was where Neil Wagner ran in, and he bumped the bowlers. He bowled everything in at chest height, shoulder height, and he really ruffled a few feathers. And it'll be interesting whether the pitch will be similar and whether he'll go with that same tactic. He came on first change and he was very aggressive and he had people fending off the gloves. He knocked them over very, very quickly. And I just wonder whether this is a pitch that's how he's going to bowl on and whether he'll go in with the same sort of approach this week.
Brian, what kind of pitch do we expect for the second test, Brian?
I think there'll be a similarity about the pitch that they played on last time. It might not be quite the same because the Basin Reserve has been relayed totally during the off-season. So whether or not they can retain the same sort of qualities, but it's the same style. The soil is the same. The grass cover is the same. They leave grass on there to try and increase the pace and keep the pace in the pitch. I'm not sure that always works. But I think, Toby, you're right about Neil Wagner. You know, however many bowlers in the past have been told to keep the ball up, not to bowl short, not to bowl in that area, yet he is probably the most effective bowler at that length because he skids on, he's accurate with it, he's now developing a couple of other deliveries that we saw, you know, and as he said afterwards, he doesn't want to be a one-trick pony. Well, he's coming to the latter stages of his career, but he's a first choice pace bowler for New Zealand at the moment because you know what you're going to get from him.
All right. Yeah. Just before we come to Philip, we're going to pause for business cause and when we come back, I really want to ask the question, of course, Philip and Toby, why is it that our West Indian batsmen are not playing short bowling well Of course, in the past, you had, you know, the greats. You could think of someone like a Fredericks hooking and Kelly Turan and Richards taking on Malcolm here at Kensington. No, we've got West Indian batsmen that are not doing well at all. In fact, some of them being struck on the shoulders and the head. And I want to ask you, Toby, when we come back from the commercial break, why is this happening? Mason and Guest is brought to you in association with our very good friends at Barbados Lottery, promoting youth sport and culture.
When the double draw, you're playing with the mega ball. It's tripling, you can triple your winnings. Just for one more dollar. Bronze mega ball.
30,000.
Silver mega ball.
40,000.
Gold mega ball.
50,000.
More and more and more you're winning. Put down another dollar and when you win, you holler. That's how you triple it.
Make your winnings even bigger. Call for the Mega Ball today. Promotion ends December 26, 2020.
The Mega Ball.